Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the show. We'll get back to the Iran-U.S. conversation, which has dominated our show today. But we can have some fun. We can delve into some other areas. Chipper, how are you?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. The Minnesota Twins, I saw early in the day, claimed a guy. I think it's Connor Gillespie. I don't have it in front of me right now. Who pitched 26 innings for the Florida Marlins with an ERA between 8 and 9. That tells you where your ball club is at right now, Mr. Scoggins.
He'll fit right in perfect.
Oh, man.
Welcome. Yeah, this is this stretch, this 2.5-week stretch, was it 16 games now where they've had to pitch a position player four times in there? Not good. Not good. I mean, we knew Pablo Lopez was important to the rotation. I didn't know the entire team would fall apart when he got injured. I don't know what your move is here now, Chad. I mean, I was thinking about this. The expanded wild card is much like the expanded playoff in college football in that it keeps a lot of markets more interested.
Yep.
And it keeps front offices from wheeling and dealing, at least in the baseball side, not obviously in football. But, I mean, what are they, 2.5 games now out of the wild card as we sit today?
Right. Even after dropping 13 to 16.
Yeah. So it's like, are you going to sell off now when you can still rationalize being, you know, in a race for the wild card?
Yeah.
Or are you going to be realistic about who you are and where you're at? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Well, I think you laid it out beautifully. It entices teams to stay, and sometimes out of nowhere you stay, and you win the damn whole thing. And other times it entices you to stay when really you should look in the mirror. Because if the point is to just make the playoffs, I get the Twins staying status quo. But if you're really looking in the mirror and saying, can this turn around enough where we have a chance to be the best team in October, I think we know the answer. But the comeback, if Falvey and Baldelli were here, they'd say, did you forget? About a month ago, we won 13 straight games. And we still think Pablo's coming back in a couple months.
And what is one of the hardest things for a decision maker to do is to stand up in front of, I'll say, fans through the media and justify why you're selling when you're in a playoff race.
Yep. And who's he justifying to? Who's he justifying this to on the ownership side?
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's the other part. The other part. Or justifying it to your own clubhouse.
Yeah,
or to your locker room. I mean, what does that say? And so that's when you expand it and you add more teams and you keep more teams, you know, involved. This is what you get. You get limbo where you get paralyzed. I assume you get paralyzed. Well, you never know. If you get in, you get something happens. We get hot. Yeah. You know, pitcher throws.
You get Pablo back. You know.
Yeah, you can rationalize it. And so, but it's also you have to be realistic. It's like, okay, is this team really equipped to, you know, really make a playoff run? I mean, that's what. But again, if you're the GM and you're in charge of it, or the president, or whatever your title is, are you going to stand up and say, hey, I know we're only two games out, but we're going to sell off our best reliever. We're going to sell off our best position player. That takes a lot of guts.
Well, now the guy is not only the president of baseball operations, but he's president of the team.
Right? Correct.
So Derek's got to look at this both ways. So let's talk about a friend and the guy who, I think in the opinion of both of us, who by far is the smartest baseball guy in the media in town, the great Patrick James Royce, where he said, I've seen enough. Hit the dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Duran, Jax, Sands. You know, Griffin has taken a step back this year, but he's still really good. You know,
yeah.
Johan was, I mean, amazing. May, he's taken a step back. That's bold. That would be very un-Falvey-like to say, these two guys are really good.
Yeah.
And arbitration eligible, by the way. And mm-hmm. we're going to do that because if you do that, Chip, and I don't see that happening for a while, but maybe, listen, sports shocks us a little time. If you would do that, would you then look at the center fielder who's playing magnificent baseball right now? If you're really saying we're going to rebuild, then would you say, guess what? He's also out there because we've decided if we do this, we're now a couple of years away.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if you're going to do Duran or Jax, are you just going to dip your toes in the water, or are you really going to commit fully to a rebuild? Those are the kind of the cornerstone pieces where you're saying, okay, we want to completely tear us down and rebuild, so you might as well just go all in at that point, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense just to do one and kind of halfway do it. And so, when you look at the way Buxton's playing right now, I mean, if they determine that, I don't think they're going to do this. I mean, because it's not in their nature, right? To be really that kind of knee jerk, and they tend to everything slow play. So I this is all just kind of throwing hypotheticals out there. But yeah, I don't think you would just, if you went that route, you wouldn't just want to dip your toes in. You want to just completely commit to it.
Well, and again, Falvey can say with facts behind it, look at the Tigers last year. They were done. They traded Flaherty, right? Wasn't Flaherty on the Tigers last year? Or was he in the Tigers made the, or was he in the White Sox last year and they traded him and the Tigers now signed?
Maybe that's
what
it is.
But the Tigers made, maybe I'm forgetting the name, but they made some moves as if they were saying, Uncle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they pretty much won every game, right? So these guys, I mean, their rationalization is we just won 13 straight. But it's not of late like they're just losing, Chipper. I feel like either I'm watching the game or I click on my phone and it's 11-0, you know, or it's 8-0. They're just getting annihilated.
Well, that's it. It's if you're being competitive against really good teams and you're losing, I think that argument's easier to justify than you're pitching a position player four times in the last 2 weeks because you're just getting blown out of the water. I mean, they're not being competitive. I mean, their pitching staff is just completely falling apart, and you know they're not hitting. The fielding yesterday was a disaster. So it's been a little bit of everything. So, but the pitching, maybe they can tell themselves, hey, you know, Pablo is going to return, and you know, maybe we can just hang around in the wild card race until that. But how much more though of these, you know, 12-2 games are you going to have to sit through before you do something? But that's the other thing is, considering that they're trying to sell the team, I don't think they're going to go out and bolster the team at the deadline, you know, to bring in help. I don't see that happening either.
Well, and I mean, that would just be there. It would not only be just because that makes sense to save money, but it's also just their, if it's significant money, that's their pattern. Now, Falvey at times, you know, when they made the moves a couple years ago, Tyler Mahle and others, they spent some money, right? They did. I like that it's expanded. And listen, that sport is so unpredictable. It's the most unpredictable of all. We just have to look at last year where they started terrible.
Yeah.
And then for 4 months, they were the best team in baseball. They had the best record in all of ball. They win the first two games against Cleveland to establish they have the best record in baseball for four months. And then I mean, literally, they're only a couple games behind having the best baseball for the entire season.
Yeah.
And then they went in that complete tankapalooza.
Well, what do you do? Like, you sit pat and hope that it gets better? Like, that's the – I'm sure they're discussing this, you know, ad nauseum behind closed doors, but what do you do? I mean, it's –
Well, how about Correa? What kind of, I wonder what kind of value Correa has, to be honest, because he had a good, very good game yesterday. He's still a high-quality person, all that, but
– defensively, yeah.
Yeah, I mean – his numbers, they are getting better slowly, but he's making big, big money. And I don't think they get big value for him. I think Byron, the way he's going right now,
yeah,
they get a lot.
Even with his injury history, the way he's playing, I think, you know.
If they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, and the way he's playing, yeah.
All right, let's switch to the NBA, and I'll pose this question to Chip and the audience. 3-4 years from now, when we think of Oklahoma City, their year, and Oklahoma City versus Pacers, are we just going to think of the Thunder, a 68-win team, winning the finals? Or are we going to think even more about Tyrese Halliburton and what happened to him in Game 7? Back with Chipper in moments on CCO. I'm going to tell you about Pella. Listen, sunny day like this. You go home, you look outside, and first of all, you say, might say to the afternoon host, I don't know if it's that sunny. Okay, it's partly sunny, partly cloudy, but you look out that window, and first of all, pavement isn't melting like it was yesterday. But you look out those windows, and do you know enough about your windows? You probably don't. I don't fault you. Well, I'm going to help you out. Pella, a business around for 100 years, PellaNorthland.com, they'll know. They'll come out to your house for a free visit like they did for me last year. And they're not automatically going to say, okay, every window has to go. That's not how they run. They're going to be honest and tell you, hey, these are still in good shape. These are getting there. These should go. And then say, what's your budget? What's your style? And they'll lay out a pattern for you. PellaNorthland.com, showroom in Woodbury and Plymouth. For me, in a house since the aughts with Pella Windows, and moving relatively soon to a place also with Pella Windows. Excuse me. In this month, and it's about to end in about a week or so, you can get, if you go to PellaNorthland.com, 50% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 36 months. Really good company with, to be honest, over 100 years, hundreds of thousands of customers. PellaNorthland.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of that red hot ball club that we were just bragging about, Jason's going to do a show from there. So catch Squints fever, baby. We tell the truth on this show. When they're winning, we praise them. When they're losing, we criticize them. There are tons of people over there who are high quality individuals. I know Chip feels the same, but this is what we do. It's our job to give you our opinions about a team that's when they're winning and then when they're losing. Okay, I'm assuming you're watching last night. I'm watching, and I'm expecting just what I've watched so many times in Game 7s, like an ugly game. You know, turnovers, missed shots, but eventually the better team's going to win, the Thunder. I'm already slightly pro-Pacers, even though I think the Thunder are a very likable team.
Yeah.
Just because it's such a great underdog story. And I'm kind of thinking, well, Thunder will probably start out on fire, up by 10, and let's see the Pacers work their way back in it. Oh, no. Oh, no. The Pacers were the better team from the start. And here's Halliburton with the calf injury. And he was complete non-factor in Game 5. And then he was back at it 6. And he's off to a great start. He's made three threes. He's essential to what they're doing, and he should be essential. He has emerged from a guy in an athletic poll, what was about 4 months ago, the most overrated player. Now you're ranking him in the top 10 in the whole league. And he's had all these clutch shots, and he just has been magnificent. And as soon as he went down, all of us just thought, bleep, it's the Achilles again. And then when you saw the replay, Chipper, you saw what that calf does, and it was – I know we got all sorts of bad situations in life. We just had this story at the top of there about a woman drowning. So this is sports sickening. I get it. I was just sick to my stomach watching it. No one that I don't know all of it, but that sure looks like he ruptured his Achilles. And he's not only out for the game, but he's out for who knows how long. And the chances of them winning just dropped precipitously.
Yeah. We've become experts on that visual of the vibration yes. in their calf.
Oh, like, awful.
It's you know, and it has to be obviously come released by the doctor, but it's like you almost know what it is. Okay, that's an Achilles. You just see how it goes. And so I give him credit because yes, it's game 7 of the NBA finals. You're gonna play through just about anything. But he was clearly that injury was affecting him big time before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
What do you have? 9 points at the time?
9 points. He hit three yeah. threes.
Yeah. And you know, you already see it. Well, the Pacers would have won if he would have played dinner. Well, we don't know that.
We have no idea.
It would have been a close game, I think, but we yep. don't know that they would have won. But
and give him credit for coming back late and making, like, at a point when a lot of people wanted to turn it off, when it's 20 basically. And also you're like, well, it's 10, and these guys have done so many amazing things. You're thinking, well, I mean, if they would have pulled that off, considering the comebacks they had before, would have been the greatest comeback team in the history of professional sports.
Yeah, considering everything that's going on. And they're a tough team. But you know what it was crazy to me, Chad, is like, and it was fun to watch, but when McConnell got on his run there and scored 10 or 12 points, and it was awesome, right? That was just a flurry. I remember thinking it sometimes, like, where's Siakam? Like, Siakam hasn't taken a shot in a while here.
You're nailing it.
Because
he's so interesting to watch. I mean, he's listed at 6'1", but you watch him out there, it's like he's 4 feet, okay? It just looks different. He's hitting these shots, but you absolutely nailed it. During that stretch, the other four guys could have had a snack. They were just watching him, and that's why I think some people were horrified that Carlisle took him out, and it looked like McConnell was, but I think he probably said, TJ, I love the scoring, but you're allowed to pass.
Yeah, we got to get the ball to Siakam. And, you know, it's hard to knock him because he was, you know, the Pacers, they showed it when they came here, and I was actually at that game when I think their entire starting lineup sat and they beat the Wolves.
Yeah.
But they showed that night, and it was just a regular season game. But they have depth, and they're tough. Like, and they're well coached. Like, that team was mm-hmm. so tough. But you know what? I know the Thunder is people don't like them because of the flopping and Shea getting all the free throws. But by every measure, they're the best team in the NBA. Wins,
yep.
offensive rating, defensive rating,
yep.
Point differential. Go down the list. I mean, they were the best team in the NBA this year, and we know it's hard to repeat. Because there's so many good teams, and the West is obviously tough, but, man, are they built. They're built for sustainability. I'm not saying they're going to win, you know, three in a row here, but they're going to, you know, barring injury, they're only going to continue to be, you know, at this level, and you just got to figure out a way to try to beat them.
They have approximately 10,000 draft choices coming their way in the next few years. Now, it should be noted, there's not like, one where you say, oh, my God, it's going to be like the number one overall. But they're so good, and they got the best GM in basketball. Sam Presti is the best out there. The guy with the Wolves, I think he's really, really good. But Presti's track record right now is so good. So I raised this question on Twitter and also with a couple of my basketball threads. Let's just assume, sadly, that Tyrese Halliburton, it's ruptured. He's gone. Yeah. Minimum next year. And by the way, it could be longer. I mean, it was June 22nd yesterday. These guys are back at September practicing. I mean, they're back in like a
9 months.
You know, I mean, it's like in a few weeks they're back. Okay. And some teams have been done, seems like, for 5 years. But if Halliburton is out, okay, the Thunder are clearly the number one team. Doesn't make that make them that they're going to win no matter what. To Chip Scoggins, who is the number two team right now in the NBA before the draft, before free agency, and before more trades? And let's acknowledge that the Kevin Durant trade to Houston in some form is going to happen. I think it's going to be I wouldn't be shocked if there's multiple teams still involved. But he's playing for the Rockets. Who is Chip Scoggins' second best team as of now in the NBA? Because a lot of people I talked to today were like, man. Who is? And these guys are absolutely 100% in the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. I think the two best teams played in the finals. I think those were the two best teams.
Yep, agree.
Now, you take Halliburton out of there. I think they're still a good team, but you're not going to put them second.
No
obviously.
Way.
You know, you certainly can make an argument for the Wolves. I mean, heck, they've been a Final Four team the last 2 years. And
it's with a caveat, obviously, because Nikhil.
Yeah.
He's free agent. And then what will Nas and Julius do? And then what is Conley going to do? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't fault Conley at all for pursuing Durant, but if it's 1 year and he's saying no, come on.
Well,
you
got to
stop. If he's saying 2 years and saying no, I would have said, I don't care, and I would have tried to make the deal. But 1 year, you can't.
No, because you're going to give too much assets for 1 year and a guy that doesn't want to be here. I mean, I would have just moved on and tried to find a point guard. Yeah, like if you're telling me the Wolves team as it's constructed right now, where you have Julius and Nas. Now, I don't think Nikhil will be back. I think Julius and Nas will both be back.
You know what I've learned about Tim Conley? Every time I think something.
You assume something.
I mean, and every time sometimes I like something or don't like something, my impression changes 3 or 4 times.
Well, and if they're not, I think he's going to have a really good point guard here to pair with Ant. So I think he's going to put the team in position to be good. So, I think a lot of it just hinges on the next couple of weeks, see what he does and how he reshapes the team. If he goes that route, or if he just decides to, bring the guys back and lean more on the young guys. I still think, Chad, the point guard situation has to be addressed.
It does. I mean, that's their now. How big do you go? Because the obvious ones are Garland, Cleveland, and White in Chicago. And the obvious thing, I mean, for sure for Garland, they're going to ask on Jaden.
They're going
Bulls,
with Jaden. Yeah.
Bulls can't realistically ask on White for Jaden. Not happen.
Yeah.
You know, and the only thing I pushed back again, you said, we'll find out in the next few weeks. So I forget. They were going to camp the next day, and also Tim Conley hit the ring camera at Carl Towns' house and brought him some and said, here's a great bottle of wine, and here's the Zillow listing for Manhattan.
Yeah, you're getting traded, which it's still an amazing story that he went there to tell him in person with a bottle of wine, which
tells you about Conley as a person right there.
You 100%. Yeah, 100%. So, I'm fascinated to see kind of what approach they take here and what he's able to pull off, because he's done it, and we know that's his MO, so let's see what he has up his sleeves.
Glad you're back, man. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the week. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you soon. See ya.
Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune, the best regular columnist in this town, and we're lucky to have him every Monday at this time.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do we have for a theme right now?
Well, it's been the theme all day, not just right now. Let's be honest. It's been all 3 hours. I'm happy you haven't picked up on it yet.
I've been kind of consumed by other stuff. I apologize.
What did J.D. Vance say about every president before Donald Trump?
Well, we have the audio. You want to play the audio?
This is how
J.D. Vance was pushing back on regime change, because Vance said, no regime change. Marco Rubio, no regime change. Even our own Pete Hegseth, no regime change. Later, what would Donald Trump tweet? Well, maybe some regime change.
That could happen.
Shockingly. But here's the audio of the number two man and why this will work and it didn't work with the other presidents.
I certainly empathize with Americans who are exhausted after 25 years of foreign entanglements in the Middle East. I understand the concern, but the difference is that back then we had dumb presidents and now we have a president who actually knows how to accomplish America's
national goals. We can just stop it right there.
That's pretty good.
We can stop it.
That's why the theme is, in honor of all those previous presidents, songs about dummies, idiots, fools.
And it works. It works with a lot of people. The other presidents before him.
Yes.
By the way, this guy who was just crucifying Donald Trump, 14 and 15.
I don't remember
saying
that.
Disgusting comments by Donald Trump.
That's fake news. That was AI generated, I'm sure.
Sure. He's now saying we got the smartest guy ever.
Mm-hmm.
And all other presidents, not philosophically, we saw things different. They were dumb. They were dumb.
It's an unbelievable argument to go with. Yeah, like I said, not philosophical, not just we have differing opinions on what should happen with foreign policy with Iran and whatever. No, they were all dumb. That's it. They were dumb.
Fits right in with Commander-in-Chief, who when he's pushing back on Truth Social, either when he's getting ready to go to the Situation Room or just leaving the Situation Room, is pushing back at journalists and calls Anderson Cooper Allison Cooper because he's a gay man. That's the Commander-in-Chief. And by the way, some of the text here to justify it are just incredibly embarrassing. You obviously get to have an opinion however you want. And you can believe in this 1,000%. You can believe in Donald Trump. Your opinion matters every bit as much as mine. But what you really think is the Commander-in-Chief should be calling a journalist who hasn't, because his point was, we all know everything was totally destroyed. His own guy, General Kane, Trump's guy, said, we're going to need a period of time to find out the after-action report, how much damage was suffered. Again, his own guy says it. Anybody else who was just... If they're saying no damage was suffered, I would get criticism, but I wouldn't go to a homophobic slur. So let's, and it's gross and it's embarrassing, and you have no way of rationalizing it. None. You rationalize is, oh, it doesn't matter, or I didn't see it. Again, I'm not saying it matters in any way, close to the attack, but we've talked about the attack, and we're going to talk about it again. I think Colonel Hunt laid out my point way better than I laid out my point. Again, Donald Trump's own intelligence, the people he hired, said on May 25th, they haven't moved that much closer. That's the summary of it. And now we attack them, seemingly so far, Dave, with brilliant military, right? The weaponry we had, the execution by the pilots, laying it all out.
And everything leading up to it, too. And it seemed like the plan was perfect.
Yeah.
As far as getting the deception, them not knowing what was coming. And
maybe it was when he was saying 2 weeks, that was the way to lure Iran in. I don't think that myself because he says 2 weeks about everything.
This time he meant it, though.
Yeah. Well, he didn't mean it because it was 2 days later. But, I mean, I still personally think he was bugged by the pushback he got on that. And then he was bugged by all the stuff with the tariffs when he pulls back all the tariffs. And I think that played some level of his decision. I also think all the credit Bibi Netanyahu was getting played a part. It's clear that he is more of a let's try to get peace. He is different than some of the other individuals. Joe Biden's track record on where he stood and what the U.S. should do and what the U.S. shouldn't do over decades really wasn't very good. And Trump jumped in on the WMDs years after, but now people act like he was ahead. And obviously Obama said, we're going to run Afghanistan the right way. And he was in Afghanistan the whole time of his presidency. And so Trump's, hey, we're not going to get in other wars. That appealed to a lot of people. And we don't know how far this is going to go. But when Colonel Hunt says this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how close they were, but let's just look at the circumstances. And we started laying out this out with Major a couple weeks ago. After the Hamas attack and the overwhelming response from Israel, which has been highly debated, okay? So Hamas has been diminished greatly. Hezbollah, when they took on Hezbollah, it was a blow-up. That was quick. The Houthis, when the Trump administration jumped in, much stronger than the Biden administration. And the pushback on that. And eventually, the U.S., not Israel, the U.S. said, we're good. Israel kept going against the Houthis. Then Assad out in Syria. Then Russia, with their eyes on Ukraine. And then the biggest one, probably of all, because of what Israel's done in the attacks, the Iranian air defense system wasn't very good. I mean, pretty much null and void. I think if the president makes the case, all of that in total, that these guys have been saying death to America for 46 years. And we know there's a reason why they have what they have in a mountain. They're not doing that for good reasons. They're doing that to have nuclear capability because they know what happens. What do we do with North Korea? We talk tough. Any president, Bush, Obama, Biden, Trump, we talk tough, but really don't do anything. Guess what? Because they got a nuke. Guess what happened when Ukraine gave up their nuclear capability? They got run over. So I'm not defending countries who are trying to get nuclear capability, but you know the strength they have when they have it. So if Trump would have laid out the whole case, look, at this is why this is the right time, and maybe they're 5 years, maybe they're 10 years, 15 years, but we've tried to negotiate with them. I believe the report that he was willing to fly to Turkey to meet the Supreme Leader because he's so convinced of his negotiating skills. I give him a ton of credit for that. But in the end, when they were pushing back strongly, and I'll accept that because it's not just their administration, other journalists have reported this, that if Trump makes the case, it was all these reasons why we did it, I think that would have been more compelling to more of the public, not just his supporters. What do you think?
I agree. If you say, look, there's maybe never going to be a perfect time.
Yep.
But if we're going to wait for them to be, quote unquote, close, and then, you know, all their air defenses back and they're, yep, you know, they've
There are other proxies.
Yeah,
they're much stronger.
They're able to defend themselves more. That perhaps they have more allies on their side. If you say, look, we could wait and have a lot more trouble getting to what we need to get to it at these nuclear sites, or we could just do it right now and be done for at least a long while, we hope.
If the strikes were as powerful and if the enrichment was still there.
Yes.
Because some have pushed back saying, who knows if they moved it.
Yeah, obviously that's all in it. But yeah, if you make that argument, I certainly see it. I certainly see the reasons behind it.
I think a lot of other people, and he does care about public opinion, I think a lot of other people, if they're at least being objective, would say, I get that argument. More than just, hey, all of a sudden, we believe Bibi Netanyahu has been telling us for 20 years they're on the verge of it. Now, magically, even though your intelligence told you something differently, that's the reason why.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.